Now it's time for your daily pep talk on News Radio Pensacola. Text in the show at 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Jake Walker. In the studio this morning, I have Jamie Coffey from the Public Affairs Office at NAS Whiting Field, and she has brought a slew of female aviators with her this morning, so I will let her introduce everybody and get this show started. Very excited to have you all here. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, yeah. Jake. Yes, we have... This is like maybe the first time that you guys are outnumbered on the women to men side of the house.
Hey.
Zach here is here as well. Zach Harris and I from the Public Affairs Office, although Zach's not on a microphone at the moment. And that is because we have brought in some female aviators for Women's History Month. So I thought let's tie in some. So let's talk what that, you know, Women's History Month and tie that in to the Navy. And I'll read you some of the messaging from the Navy side of the house as we kind of like tie into that. So their Navy message this year for 2024 is celebrating America's warfighting women in the Navy. So something I pulled from their Facebook page this morning, and I just thought it was pretty cool. I wanted to kind of share with everybody out there and share with the listeners. In honor of Women's History Month, the U.S. Navy celebrates the trailblazing women from Navy history. So did you know that on May 13, 1908, President Theodore Roosevelt signed the Naval Appropriations Bill authorizing the establishment of the Navy's Nurse Corps? The first nurses inducted into the Corps were dubbed the Sacred 20. So I just thought that was cool, and I'm just going to share some names. I like to share the names from our women in naval history. And one of those names is Esther Voorhees Hansen. So in 1908 was the first superintendent of the Navy Nurse Corps. Hansen was one of three women who applied for the position of superintendent of the Navy Nurse Corps when it was established in Congress 13 May 1908, which I mentioned a second ago. Chief Yeoman Loretta Walsh, 1917, the Navy's first enlisted woman, was sworn in. Walsh was also the first woman chief petty officer and the first woman to serve in the non-nursing capacity in a branch of the armed forces. And the last one I want to mention is LTJG Harriet Ida Pickens and Ensign Francis Willis. And in 1944, the Navy's first African-American women accepted for volunteer emergency services officers, which we all say WAVES. So that's just a little bit of history as from the Navy side of the house. And I want to kind of get in to some of the folks that we have in the studio this morning. The first is our collateral PAO, also instructor pilot at HT-28. We are HT-28 heavy in the house. All of our student naval aviators and our instructor pilot, all from HT-28 this morning. But Lieutenant Glennon Ducky Waters, we say Ducky because, you know, that all the aviators have call signs. I want to assume our students don't have them just yet. So either they don't have a funny name or they haven't done anything dumb enough yet to get a...
Not yet. It's coming. They have to earn it one day.
You have to earn... I shouldn't say dumb enough. I'm just saying. You haven't done something interesting enough or unique enough yet to get that call sign. But you're right. Ducky says it's coming soon. So we have Lieutenant Waters. And then also... In-house today, we have LTJG, so we have Lieutenant Junior Grade Caroline Neese, Lieutenant Junior Grade Kana Griffin, LTJG Molly Swiger, and I said, so like swagger, but swagger, so that's how I remember that, so now, that's a call sign, and it's coming, that might hit. But I'm just going to jump in with our collateral PAO, Lieutenant Waters. We always call her Ducky. So, Ducky, thank you for being here. You have done. You have jumped in for us with tours this last week and Q&A for our up and coming midshipmen from Tulane University that were here last Friday. So you've just done already singing our praises and helping us out on that community outreach piece. So we totally appreciate what you do.
And of course, you know, when the weather's bad, you know, and gotta find something else to do. So yeah, if I can't fly, I'm gonna help you out.
So tell us, now, how long have you served in the Navy?
So I graduated from the United States Naval Academy in 2017. So it's coming up on 7 years now. Had my wings for about five as well. Did 4 years in San Diego flying the MH-60 Romeo, which is my my platform.
Okay.
And then moved down here to Pensacola this past August and have been instructing students for about 3 months now.
3 months. It seems longer.
Right? The days get pretty long trying to teach these kids how to hover. So.
That's right. Well, and I did hear that the instructor pilots are pretty busy. And they're working really hard. And we see it, too, from time to time on the base when they're zooming through each student. But we just appreciate what you guys do because you guys are flying through students and getting them in the air and teaching them how to become warfighters. So. Very cool. So have you always wanted to fly? What's the background there of how you got in the air?
Yes, so I've always wanted to be a pilot growing up in San Diego, right? Not from a Navy family, but being in San Diego, a huge Navy presence with the Master Helicopter Base and then the headquarters of 3rd Fleet as well. Grew up watching helicopters fly over the Coronado Bridge, you know, and as a kid saying, hey, you know, one day I want to do that.
Yep.
And then getting orders to San Diego for my JOPA tour, got to do that on the weekly. So was super fortunate. So
yeah,
it's been a dream and, you know, corny as it is, like dreams come true if you work hard enough. So
that's right. And I heard that you mentioned on Friday, I just kind of overheard you were talking to those midshipmen and going forward, you're staying in the Navy and you want to do 100%, you're ready, you're going to get a retirement out of this and fly through the ranks, hopefully, and lead the Navy one day.
Yeah, I've loved it. You know, like, no bad experience so far. Like, flying is an absolute blast. But I also love my sailors, right, the maintainers that work on my aircraft. You know, I put my life in their hands when they're, you know, torquing down bolts or putting in engine oil to the engine. So, I love it. 10 out of 10.
What would you say, looking so far on your time, what has a challenge that you want to share with us? What's something that you you face as you want to kind of share with us one of those challenges that you have had to face?
I was pretty independent growing up. You know, mm-hmm. I was an only child. You know, did tennis and golf, so pretty like independent sports. But I've learned that, you know, the Navy is a team effort for sure. Right, going through the aircraft commander process. You know, getting your wings. Right, it's all about that team around you. Which then translate to the Navy, right? No one maintainer can get an aircraft or a helicopter working by itself, right? You got to have all the shops working together to get that bird off the deck.
What's your favorite part? Is flying your favorite part?
Flying's pretty cool. Being able to, you know, it's just you, your co-pilot, and then an A-dub or two, the enlisted sensor operator in the back, you know, flying for 3 hours at a time, going cloud surfing over the Pacific Fleet. You know, it's just you, your aircraft, and your friends.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a blast.
That is so cool. I love talking about aviation. I absolutely love it. On aviation, on the side of, you know, folks thinking about getting into the Navy and joining the Navy and wanting to fly, what advice would you give them right now if they were thinking about starting that career? What advice would you?
First and foremost, go for it, right? If you have, you know, a mission and like something you want to go for, 1,000% try it out. But also kind of look at, you know, the opportunities around it, right? When we do turf navigation, so low level flying, right? We use what's called funneling features, right? So, hey, I know I have to get from point A to point B, but if I get a little bit off, maybe something, you know, a river on the side can help me get to that final point B, right? So kind of know all of your options of how to get to that final destination.
That is great advice. So in the beginning, we started talking about that with the advice of, you know, what we would provide to somebody who's getting in. And so we're going to swap over. I want to talk to LTJG Swagger for a minute. Molly, I want to, you have started your career and you have started flying. But as I understand it, you are no longer in the syllabus. You have completed the syllabus, and you have already had your wings of gold pinned on your chest recently. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Jamie. Good morning. I recently won on February 23rd. It was a really awesome and exciting culmination of the past almost 3 years of training in the syllabus.
Yeah. So I was just going to ask you how long you've been in, or how long you've kind of started that in 3 years in the training. And then where did you go to school?
I also graduated from the Naval Academy 2021, then moved down to Pensacola. I've been going through, went to Corpus for the second part, and then came back to Pensacola for the final phase of training.
Cool. Now, have you always wanted to fly?
I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, but throughout my time at the Naval Academy, the majority of my mentors were aviators. So through that, I kind of just got exposed to flying in summer trainings. That's how I really came to the decision that I wanted to be an aviator.
Okay, so I was going to ask you what you wanted to fly, but you have already selected. So can you tell us a little bit about what you've selected for an aircraft platform, or how did that work?
So I put in my preferences and I selected the MH-60 Sierra, and I'm headed to San Diego.
So. San Diego next.
Sunny San Diego.
I've heard the Navy say sand dog sometimes, like to.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, you're
absolutely
going to sand dog. That's really. Now, so as far as the selection process, it also has to do with, it's kind of performance based on your preference, correct? How's that work?
It is. So you put in preferences. You can prioritize location or platform, Romeos or Sierras for the Navy folk. And then based off of how you've performed throughout school and then what's available for the Navy, that's how they kind of place you into your position.
What was your favorite part of the syllabus? So like now, you've got your wings. Now you can go take the breath and go, okay. It's that part of it is over, and like looking back on it, is there a part of that? What's your highlight? What was the coolest thing you did while you were in the training?
I think formation flying was actually my favorite piece of it. You get to work with another student and planning flights, and the instructors put you through different scenarios that kind of teach you a little bit more about what aviation in the fleet is going to be like. And then it's also very cool and dynamic flying. You're close to another aircraft. You get a little bit of that low-level turf navigation that Lieutenant Waters was talking about. So it's a little bit of everything throughout the syllabus culminated together. And so formation flying was definitely my favorite.
Okay, so speaking of forms or formations, so explain, is that on the T6 side? Because from what I understand, you're in the T6 first, and you start the syllabus where you're flying the fixed wing aircraft before you're selected to go to rotary. So when you're talking forms, is that on the T6 side that you were doing that, or is
It's both. There okay. are forms in the T6 and forms in the helicopter. I actually preferred formation flying in the helicopter a little bit better. I was also just more experienced aviator and probably like a little bit better squadron camaraderie being in HT-28 for a while at that point. So I enjoyed forms a little bit more in the helicopter. You also get to be a little bit closer, and you're not flying as fast as the T6. So you get to, I think it's a little bit more enjoyable.
That's cool. I love rotary. I love helicopters. I just think that they're... just the process that how they have to fight to stay in the air, and just like the whole thing from beginning to end. And somebody once shared with me that on the T6 side, it's just completely different experience flying a T6 than it is flying a helicopter. Would you say the same?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think flying a helicopter, you have to fight a lot of your instincts. Mm. It's also a lot more dynamic flying than people might expect. Got to know if when you were growing up in elementary school, you had people be like, pat your head and rub circles on your belly.
Yeah.
You have to do that, but you have to control your hands differently, and then also like move your feet and move your mouth, all kind of disconnected but working towards the same goal. It's a lot to juggle.
Right, right. Wow. Okay, so outside of the Navy, I hear you're into athletics, and I'll mention the word soccer. Can you share with us a little bit about what you were doing on the soccer side of the house, on the athletic side of the house?
Yeah, this past summer I actually competed in the All Armed Forces women's soccer team for the Military World Cup in Netherlands. It was a 2.5-week training camp and then a 2-week tournament in Amsterdam. We competed against teams from all over the world. Yeah, it was an awesome experience.
Oh, that's incredible. So who makes up the team?
For the All Armed Forces, it's women from every branch, enlisted and officers.
And that's what I was just going to ask. What is the age range or what does that dynamic look like?
I think the youngest person we had was 21, and the oldest we had was 34, now a major in the Air Force.
What? Everybody's active duty?
Everyone is active duty, yes.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's an incredible, what an honor to represent that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely an honor to represent the Navy and Naval Aviation as well.
And speaking of Women's History Month, it was just an awesome collection of just some amazing women and learning about their stories.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Oh, thanks for sharing. Truly, truly appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We're going to jump to who I've got. I've got Caroline in the seat. So I've got LTJ Janice.
Got me in the seat.
I do. Welcome. We're just going to keep hitting you guys with questions. And we just absolutely love to learn, and the listeners love to learn about you guys. And so tell us a little bit about how long you've been in the Navy.
I'm same as Molly. I went to the Naval Academy, so technically been in the Navy since 2017, but I've been an officer commissioned for 3 years now, since 2021.
Okay.
And had basically the same path as Molly. We've been like close by in the syllabus the whole time.
Nice.
Started in Pensacola, then went to Corpus together, and then came back here and finished it up in ATG 28.
So I'm going to ask you the same question. Have you always wanted to fly? You know, where did that start for you in school?
So I actually did not always want to fly, but I've always been a team sports player. I played lacrosse through college. I always played field hockey in high school. I played at least two sports basically all at the same time. And when I went to the Naval Academy, you're exposed to all these different people in the Navy and Marine Corps, and every person from each community. Each community has its own personality, and I found myself getting along really well with the aviation community. Everybody's just a little bit more relaxed. It's such a high-stress job that you have to be a relaxed personality to be able to handle the stress that comes when you're flying.
Absolutely.
So I got along with the people initially, and being a person on a team my whole life, being a part of the Naval Aviation team was really important to me, and being a member of a crew. Especially with helicopter flying, you always have somebody in that seat next to you. You always have somebody in the back, and you're working together towards a common goal. And that was really important for me to carry on from, like, basically being a kid growing up and being on a team. Because a lot of people grow up, they play sports their whole time, and you go out into like the corporate world and you're alone.
Yeah,
you're alone and afraid. And I don't want to be alone and afraid. I like to be around my friends.
Part of a team.
Yeah, for sure.
Be a part of that bigger mission.
Definitely.
And that bigger picture.
Yeah, yeah. And contribute and be able to play off each other, and yeah, it's fun.
Okay, so you already have your Wings of Gold as well. So
it's
tell
so
me
special.
About yeah, tell me about your platform. What are you going to fly?
So I'm going to HSC-2 in Norfolk, and I'll be flying the MH-60 Sierra as well.
Okay, 60 Sierra.
Yeah,
yep.
Bigger, better, badder aircraft.
I was just going to ask you, and I know this is kind of putting you on the spot, but what does that aircraft do? Like, what is their overall mission? Like, what do you?
So I'm not an expert, obviously. I just selected the MH-60 Sierra, so I don't want to speak for the whole community. But as I understand it, it's a lot of search and rescue operations, a lot of logistics, and like bringing mail and parts to the ship, and basically just like more of a being a part of that bigger team on the ship as well. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Contributing in that way.
Okay, I'm going to pop back to your training. So popping back, as you have completed as well, looking back, what was something that you found challenging when you were going through the syllabus and working through that?
So probably for me, the most challenging is you, as somebody who's been on a team her whole life, you are amongst, all of a sudden you're with all these other type A personalities, because all pilots are type A.
Right.
They'll try to tell you they're not. They are. Everybody likes to follow the list. Everybody likes to do things their way. And especially when you start to work with another student in the helicopter syllabus, instead of doing all the work by yourself, you need to understand that you have another person that has the exact same amount of experience you do, and you need to be able to riff off each other and use each other for, like, to study and do group studying in that kind of way, because academics is largely individual until you get to flight school, and then you're studying as part of a team. So I think that learning how to play to each other's strengths academically and learning in that way was really challenging for me, because you like to do it all by yourself, but you have to rely on other people.
Yeah, for that success. Yep. Okay, so we're gonna pop over to Kana real quick. So LTJG Griffin in the house.
Hi.
Good morning. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia. Okay. Now, is the plan at some point ever to go back home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I wanted to go to San Diego, just so I could. I knew if I went back to Virginia, I'd probably never leave. I love Virginia.
Uh-huh.
So I figured I would spend, like, the early parts of my career kind of away from home, and then kind of settle back to the East Coast eventually.
Right. Now, also, Wings of Gold, yes, on your chest. So tell us about the same platform that,
yes,
you.
Same, okay, platform, so you've been selected. Coast. Yes. So I'll be joining Molly at HSC 3 out in San Diego.
Now, did you want Sierra's?
I did, yes.
Okay, so you did get your choice.
Yes,
you did get your choice. Search and rescue, the ship. I mean, this is just going to be, we're super excited, super excited.
Thank
for you,
you
guys. So looking back on your training, what was one of the things, what's one of your highlights? What's one of your favorite things that you did?
And you can't
mention formations now.
That's everybody's favorite.
That's right, yeah.
One of my most favorite flights was actually my last flight in the syllabus here. It was my night vision goggle capstone. So basically, you get with your instructor pilot. They'll give you a mission. You have to plan the mission the best you can. And then you go fly what you think is going to be the mission. And they just throw a ton of wrenches in your plan. And you just kind
love
of
it.
Learn how to flex.
What a challenge.
So it was awesome because it was kind of a culmination of all the things we had learned throughout the syllabus. We were flying at night through goggles, which is really fun. And then on top of that, just really learning how to, like, flex those muscles of, like, how to actually execute a mission and how to be able to kind of flex and kind of switch up when we need to and still get the job done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll ask you the same question I
sure.
asked. Have you always wanted to fly, or where were you in school where something hit?
Yeah, so I think probably deep down, I think I always wanted to fly. I just didn't realize it yet. I was born in Japan. My mom's Japanese. So I spent a lot of my early years just flying. Obviously, I wasn't the one doing the flying, but I was just on planes all the time to go back and visit family on my dad's side. So I think I was always really interested in being in the air. When I got to high school, I decided I was going to join the Navy because my dad was in the Navy.
Wait, okay, sorry, I'm going to interrupt now.
Okay.
What did your dad do in the Navy?
So my dad was, he started as in like a comms, he was enlisted. He started doing comms on the ship, and then he kind of switched to master at arms. So they are kind of, my dad always explained it as like the cop on the boat.
Yeah, like Navy police.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so an MA, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Very cool.
So yeah, once I put those pieces together of, I like being in the air, I like flying, and also I'm going to join the Navy, it kind of all came together perfectly for me.
Ah, that's incredible. Thank you, all of you. Thank you to all of you. Thank you to the ladies who will share their stories with us today, and we can get a better understanding of what it's like to train and fly and serve in the Navy, and all doing it part of March with Women's History Month out at NAS Whiting Field, and we'll continue to support those initiatives. Absolutely incredible. Jake, as always, thank you so much for having NAS Whiting Field, and thank you for letting us share our story of aviation.
You're very welcome. Always great to see you. Thank you for bringing them in. It was very informative. I can't believe what you guys do on a daily basis, and thank God for you. Thank you for your sacrifice and your service. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Jamie. We'll be right back with more Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.